Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's a stillness to old cemeteries, a kind of peace that feels unshakable until it isn't. For one group of young investigators, that stillness was an illusion. Shattered by footsteps in the dark and a figure that defied explanation. What started as curiosity about Greenwood Hill Cemetery, a quiet, unassuming burial ground, soon became a dangerous exploration into the unknown. The story you're about to hear comes from Alex, a determined teenager who turned their fascination with the paranormal into a full-fledged investigation. Alongside two friends, Alex ventured into Greenwood Hills with cameras and recorders, hoping to find answers. What they found instead were shadows that moved when they shouldn't, voices that spoke from the void, and warnings that felt all too personal. Was the group simply imagining things, or did they awaken something best left undisturbed? Were the encounters a test of their courage or a reminder that the living don't belong among the dead after dark? Let's get to the letter. They write, "I've always been drawn to the strange and unexplained. Maybe it was all those late nights growing up watching shows about hauntings and mysteries, but when I had my own encounter at Greenwood Hills Cemetery, everything changed. I wasn't just watching anymore. I was in the middle of something I didn't understand. It all started when I was 16. My friends Tyler, Chris, and I had just formed our little ghost hunting group. We were kids with more curiosity than sense, really, but we took it seriously. We pooled together money for cameras, recorders, and even EMF detectors. Our goal? To uncover proof of the paranormal. Greenwood Hills, with its crumbling headstones and eerie stories, seemed like the perfect place to start. The first visit was uneventful. Honestly, it was kind of a letdown. We walked among the graves, asking questions into the air, trying to stir up anything, any sign at all. But the cemetery felt calm, almost serene. We left that night feeling foolish, like we'd believed too many ghost stories. But the second visit was different. The moment we stepped through the gates, I felt it. A heaviness in the air, like the night itself was pressing down on us. Tyler and Chris felt it too. You could see it in their faces. We tried to play it cool, brushing off the unease as nerves, but deep down I think we all knew something wasn't right. About 20 minutes in, we started hearing faint noises, soft footsteps behind us. At first, we thought it might be an animal, but when we turned around, there was nothing there. The air felt colder, and Chris swore he saw movement out of the corner of his eye. That's when it happened. Tyler and Chris both froze, staring at something just beyond the tree line. Then, without a word, they bolted, sprinting out of the cemetery like their lives depended on it. I didn't see anything, but the fear in their eyes was enough to make me follow. When we finally regrouped at Tyler's house, they wouldn't speak to each other at first. Then Chris grabbed a piece of paper and started drawing. Tyler did the same. When they were done, they both held up their drawings, and they were identical. A black figure, tall and hooded, with no visible face. It wasn't walking, they said. It was floating toward us. I wanted to believe they were exaggerating, but the way they described it gave me chills. Still, I convinced them to go back the next night. We couldn't just leave it there, not with questions hanging in the air. That third visit is when things really started to escalate. We came prepared this time. Cameras rolling, recorders running. The cemetery was darker than before, the moonlight barely cutting through the trees. I stuck close to Tyler and Chris, but I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone. While filming, I caught a glimpse of something, a shadow darting between the gravestones. It was fast, too fast to be an animal, but I told myself it was just my eyes playing tricks. I didn't want to scare the others, especially after what had happened the night before. We decided to leave one of the recorders on a tombstone while we walked around. That's when we started hearing it again. Footsteps. They weren't ours. These were heavier, deliberate, and always just out of sight. Tyler, trying to be brave, asked out loud, "If someone's here, can you show us a sign?" The answer came immediately. I was looking through my camera when the screen went blindingly white for a split second. It was so bright, I had to stop recording. When I played the footage back in slow motion, my heart sank. There it was. A figure, pure white, but unmistakably human-shaped. You could make out its face, pale, emotionless, and its hand raised like it was reaching for something. The scariest part? There was no sound, no footsteps, no rustling leaves, nothing. Whatever it was, it moved silently. We tried to rationalize it, to explain it away. Maybe it was just the camera malfunctioning or some kind of trick of the light, but deep down we all knew the truth. We had captured something we weren't supposed to see. The night wasn't over yet, though. As we continued through the cemetery, the noises got louder. Footsteps, whispers, even faint laughter. It felt like we were being watched from every direction. Tyler suddenly grabbed my arm, his face pale. "Did you hear that?" he whispered. I hadn't heard anything, but the look in his eyes told me I didn't want to. We should have left right then and there, but something about that night kept us moving forward, deeper into the cemetery. Maybe it was curiosity. Maybe it was pride. Or maybe it was something else. Something we didn't understand pulling us further in. The recorder we had left on the tombstone was still running, and we decided to circle back to retrieve it. As we got closer, I swear I heard faint whispers, but I couldn't make out the words. Tyler and Chris froze, both looking at me with wide eyes. "Do you hear that?" Chris whispered. I nodded, but I didn't want to say it out loud. The whispers were growing louder, more distinct, and sounded like a man, low and gravelly, repeating the same phrase over and over. I couldn't quite make it out, but it sent shivers down my spine. When we finally grabbed the recorder, we played back a few seconds to see if it had picked up anything, and it had. Clear as day, we heard a voice growling, "Get out!" Chris wanted to leave, but I wasn't ready to give up. I suggested we try one last walk through the cemetery, sticking close together this time. Reluctantly, they agreed. That's when things went from unsettling to outright terrifying. As we walked, the atmosphere seemed to change. The air grew colder, and the shadows around us seemed to deepen. Then, out of nowhere, we heard running footsteps behind us, fast and heavy, like someone sprinting straight at us. We spun around, but there was no one there. The footsteps stopped just as suddenly as they had started, leaving only silence in their wake. Chris was shaking, muttering that we needed to leave. But before we could move, something else happened. Tyler's flashlight, which he'd been gripping tightly, shattered in his hand. He yelped in pain, dropping the pieces to the ground. "It just exploded," he said, his voice trembling. His hand was uncut, but the flashlight was in pieces. At that moment, I felt something brush past me. It wasn't the wind. This was colder, more deliberate. I turned to look, and there it was, the figure. It stood about 10 feet away, shrouded in black, its hood obscuring its face, but this time it didn't just stand there. It started moving toward us, gliding across the ground without making a sound. I don't remember screaming, but Tyler and Chris told me later that I did. We ran, stumbling over gravestones and tree roots, not stopping until we were out of the cemetery and back in the car. When we got home, we reviewed everything. The camera footage, the audio recordings, even the broken flashlight. What we found only made things worse. The footage showed the figure again, clearer this time. It wasn't white like before. It was black, a solid shadow that moved unnaturally fast. And the audio. The whispers we'd heard were now loud and distinct. Leave now, you shouldn't be here. I'll rip you apart. But the most chilling part was the name. Among the angry growls and warnings, a single word kept repeating, Topper. We had no idea what it meant, but we were determined to find out. After some digging, we discovered that Topper was a nickname for a grave digger who worked at Greenwood Hills in the 1800s. He was known for his temper and was rumored to have desecrated graves to steal valuables. His life ended abruptly when he was struck by lightning while working late one night. Some say he was buried in the cemetery, but there's no official record of his grave. Others believe his spirit roams the grounds, protecting it, or maybe haunting it, because of the crimes he committed in life. After learning about Topper, we decided to visit the cemetery one final time. I don't know what we were hoping to accomplish, maybe closure, maybe proof, but it was a mistake. That last visit was the worst. We returned to the spot where we had seen the figure and asked aloud if it was Topper. The silence that followed was deafening, but it didn't last long. A low, guttural growl rose up around us, coming from nowhere and everywhere at once. Then, the whispers began again. This time they weren't distant. They were right next to us, as if someone was standing inches away. I felt a pressure on my chest, like I couldn't breathe. Tyler grabbed my arm and shouted, "We have to go!" As we ran toward the exit, I glanced back one last time. The figure was there, standing at the edge of the cemetery, watching us. It didn't follow, but I swear I saw its hand raise as if waving goodbye, or maybe warning us not to return. That night, we all agreed we were done with Greenwood Hills. Whatever's out there, it doesn't want to be disturbed. I've reviewed the footage and audio so many times since then, trying to make sense of it all. I still have the recording of the voice saying, "Get out." And the video of the figure. It's undeniable. To this day, I wonder, was it Topper angry at us for trespassing? Or was it something else entirely? Something darker? I don't think I'll ever know. Thanks for listening, Tony. I hope you and your listeners can shed some light on what we experienced. Sincerely, Alex. Wow. Just wow. What Alex and their friends experienced at Greenwood Hills Cemetery is the stuff that keeps you awake at night. Let's break this down, because there's a lot to unpack. On one hand, you have the psychological possibilities. Paranormal investigations often take place in environments designed to unnerve. Darkness, isolation, the weight of centuries-old stories. Could the footsteps, whispers, and apparitions be manifestations of the mind under stress? Humans are wired to look for patterns, even in random noise, and our imaginations fill in the blanks. Add in group dynamics, where fear spreads like wildfire, and it's easy to see how things could spiral. But then, there's the evidence, the video footage, the EVPs, the synchronized drawings of a hooded figure. Those are hard to dismiss. Especially the audio. It's one thing to imagine whispers, but a clear voice commanding, "Get out!" or growling threats? That's not easily explained by psychology alone. And then there's Topper. The gravedigger's history, the repeated use of his name, and the intense aggression displayed toward the group, it all points to a restless, intelligent presence. Could Topper really be protecting the cemetery, angry at intruders, or even atoning for his past? Or is this entity something darker, something using Topper's story as a mask to conceal its true intentions? The final visit raises even bigger questions. The growls, the feeling of pressure on Alex's chest, the figure standing at the edge of the cemetery, silently watching as they fled, it's haunting. Almost like the cemetery itself has rules, and once you've broken them, it makes sure you never forget. What do we take from this story? Greenwood Hills seems to be more than just a collection of graves. It's a place where the veil between worlds feels thinner, where those who tread too carelessly might leave with more than they bargained for. Maybe the next time you pass a quiet cemetery, you'll think twice before stepping through the gates. After all, some spirits rest in peace. Others, not so much. Until next time, stay curious and maybe keep a flashlight handy.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.